Right, thank you for your attention, everybody. We'd like to thank Jan Klopper for that great talk. We're going to have the question and answer session now. So if anyone's got any questions, I'll be happy to take them. Yeah.
You mean you're going to answer them?
Sorry? No. No, Klopper will take them. I mean, I'll be on. Yes.
So I have actually three questions about how it's spring. First, it's of course very interesting evidence.
Can you use the microphone, please?
Do you want to use my microphone and give it back to me? Or maybe, you know what, you'll use the microphone.
Do you want to stand behind the podium?
Yeah, they could, and I'll sit behind.
That's probably easier.
That's, yeah, okay. But you'll have to move. Where is it? You'll have to move. Oh, you don't want to.
Actually, I want to ask about the Arabic Spring, and it's very interesting evidence what we see now, and it's an opportunity to ask a person who is from Israel and very liberal person like yourself. So three questions. First, what are the main concerns about the change in Syria from Israelis? Are they concerned about instability because this will be an Islamic, likely Islamic government will come, Sunni government, or this will bring a democratic government? Now, you know, we know Israel, historically, the Syrian regime was indeed against Israel, and it was at some time the only regime which practically was against them, and there was achievements through this regime, through liberation of South Lebanon and support of resistance in Palestine and Lebanon. So my concern, I agree with you fully, and we are on the same side of the story, but it's obviously Israelis are concerned about the change in Syria. So why? And this is very. This is first question. I want you to think about and answer it, because it's obviously they just panicked and they kept silent. And honestly, we were thinking they will just be happy about the change, like Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is backing what's happening in Syria, and they want to change the regime because historically. Okay, this is the first question. The other question is. About Barak, he said 2 days ago about, because you know these Palestinians approaching the borders on Nakba Day, and he says we will see more of that. So I want to from you to tell me what, how they think about it. And he said we have practical tools to stop it. So from your experience and your understanding as Israelis, what do you think, how they would behave? Now the third. A question I want to ask. Yes, sir. Okay. So this is one question about Syria, and second about. Actually, the third question came out of my head.
Yes,
so
I'm going to think about it. And other people as well. Okay. Good. And I apologize in advance for being very telegraphic in the answers, because I really want to include as many people as we can. I think there's a difference between the Israeli propaganda when they say that they are what they claim is their concern and what is their genuine concern. The Israeli propaganda is that the main concern is that Iran is behind these changes and that Syria would become an Islamic theocratic republic. Their main genuine concern is the same about Egypt and Jordan, and this is they know that democratic Arab regime or regimes that take into account their own society's wishes would demand a far more active policy towards Israel. Now, you're right. In case of the Syrian regime, there is little to be demanded here because of its quite positive record in this respect. However, my understanding is that they fear that while they can deal with, if you want, the kind of resistance or objection that the Syrians have pursued throughout the years, they cannot, and they don't know exactly how to resist, something which will be pan-Arabist, which will come from all places. So for them, the scenario is not focused on Syria. Is what happened when the people of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq go back to their historical role as leading the solidarity movement with the Palestinians.
So they don't isolate Syria in this respect. The Israelis always like to divide and rule. So as long as they can fragment an Arab reaction, as long as they can fragment the Palestinian people, they feel safe. Anything that smells of unity of purpose or real unity really, really frightens them. Now, Barak, I think what he meant is what the Israelis are going to do. If these kinds of demonstrations and protests continue, what the Israelis always do in such a case, they immediately implement their emergency regulations and they declare all these borders closed military zones, not allowing the media, not allowing citizens, anyone to approach, and you wouldn't know what they're going to do when they're doing it. I mean, that's what they meant. But, you know, Palestinians can tell you more than I what does it mean to live in a military closed zone. That's the only... Don't expect Barak to come up with something inventive. The Israelis, since 1948, when it comes to Palestinians, have very little to offer in terms of what to do with the Palestine problem. Between the cannon, the F-16 and the tank, there isn't that much a spectrum of inventive Israeli policy. And I don't think Barak is thinking of something beyond this spectrum of possible reaction to the popular Palestinian resistance to Israel.
Okay, more questions. I'll take three and then we'll
So I'll take three questions and answer three. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do. Sure.
Hi. The West has got a history of centuries of white supremacy and imperial genocide. Since the Second World War, this has been justified using the narrative of the war, the Cold War. For the last decade, it's been justified using the narrative of the War on Terror. It appears that the War on Terror has essentially been ended by the uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa. They've laid the bogeyman to rest. What comes next, and does what happens in Israel and Palestine completely depend on the fate of the US empire?
Okay, more questions? Okay, I'll take you.
Look, can I ask you if we can say what happened in Golan Heights called ethnic cleansings? Is it the same thing as what happened in Palestine?
Okay.
Or is it different?
Okay. Good question.
I was wondering if you could comment a bit more about the unity talks going on between Fatah and Hamas and the relationship of those talks with the people on the ground, the Palestinians, and how much sort of hope, how much they are relating to the people on the ground.
Okay, these are three questions. I agree that the fate of the American empire is closely connected to the fate of the Israeli empire. There are two levels to this discussion. Definitely something is not working for the Americans in the Middle East. And one of the things that the Israelis have lost was their ability to be the Orientalist state. Not the Oriental, but the Orientalist state. The Israelis had an amazing capacity, which reminds a little bit the kind of message that the whites in South Africa for a while tried to convey to the West. And that is to say that we are in a unique position. We are inside, but we're not part of the inside. So you will never know what's really going on in the Arab world because you are outside the Arab world. You cannot trust the Arabs to tell you what goes on in the Arab world because they're Arabs. But you can trust us because we are not Arabs and we are in the Arab world. So we can explain to you. Now, the Israelis, we know it, assured the Americans that their policy is working in the Middle East. So, and the policy isn't working. So I think that Israelis are going to lose some of their friends in America. Unfortunately, the end of American imperialism in the Middle East is not necessarily the result of altruistic new energy in America about world justice and equality. It can be motivated by less sympathetic factors, such as economic crisis, such as a movement that says there's no need to be involved in the Middle East anymore, because all the boogeymen are gone and all your excuses are gone, and so on. So I think a lot has to be said for the fact that, if I go back to my metaphor, this big chain that is still holding the bridge is wobbling. It is wobbling, definitely. Although, and that's one level. The second level is that the internal dynamics of why Americans are so supportive of Israel is more complicated than that. It's not just imperialism. Christian Zionism is not imperialism. I don't know if it's worse or as bad, but it's not imperialism, it's something else. The hold that the American Jewish community has over American policy is not imperialism. I don't know if it's worse, it is as bad, but it's different. It's even the end of American empire in the Middle East is not yet the end of the American willingness to do exceptional things in order to save Israel. And there is this sinister idea of the late Israeli Minister of Defense, Moshe Dayan, that the only reason Israel needs so many nuclear bombs is to threaten America, that if it would forsake Israel, it would use these bombs.